Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you here today. You like this new place? It's pretty awesome. Praise God for that. All right. Well, my name is Brandon, and I'm going to continue the series today in the new wine series. Let's just pray before we start today. Father, we thank you so much that you are here with us, that you reside within us by your Spirit, and that you're speaking to us today through your word. And we pray that you would just help our hearts and minds to be open right now to what you want to say. And maybe we just respond in action to what you're telling us. Thank you for the worship. Thank you just that we can gather here all together freely in this nation. And just thank you for your grace and love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today I want to talk about something called the false self. The false self. I'm not sure if you've heard of that term, but you've probably, you know, heard of some of the things associated with that. We are in the new wine series, so I'm talking about a new identity. I don't think we want to live out of something called the false self, right? Probably get that point. So we want to live out of our true self, which is found in Christ, which is our new identity. So that's what the topic is today. So I have a definition of the false self. But before that, I want to share just a little story or explanation I found in a book called Becoming by Jim Branch, and it's on the screen as well, so I'll just read it. He says, I tend to go through life trying to create a self each day rather than to simply receive a self each day. And any self that is created by anything or anyone other than the Creator, the God that breathed me into being, can only be false. Any self that I create or manufacture is a false self because it is just a cheap imitation, adaptation, or distortion of the me I was created to be by the one who dreamt me into being before the foundations of the earth. So a lot of times we go around and we wear masks, right? Because we want to impress people, right? And we're so used to performance. We go to work, we perform, we do well, we get a raise, hopefully, right? Or we get promoted. And we're so used to that environment, a lot of times we bring that to every part of our life, right? We want to perform. We want people to say, good job. And that's nice to have that, for people to say, you know, you did well and so forth. But if we live out of that continually, we will dry up on the inside because we weren't made as believers to live out of that false self. So I like this explanation that he gives. It's a cheap imitation, adaptation, or distortion of the me I was created to be. So what is the false self? Another definition that I found online that sounds good. Puts it in simple terms. It's the part of us that operates primarily in fear, preoccupied with acceptance and approval and finding our worth in things outside of us. So why am I talking about this today is because I struggle a lot with this. So I'm not speaking about this as like, you know, I've overcome this and I'm here to give some big testimony. No, I'm sharing it because I think it's a struggle that I have, and I think a lot of us can relate to this as well. But I think it's something we don't often want to think about, right? Because we stay busy and we do a lot of things, but we don't like to sit and reflect on what's going on the inside. And that's something you have to do to kind of figure this stuff out, right? With God. So what is some of the evidence or fruit of the false self? I read a book a few years ago by Brennan Manning. Have any of you heard of Brennan Manning before? Okay, great. He wrote this book called Abba's Child. I highly recommend it. It's called Abba's Child. And he gives some explanations also of what it means to live out of that false self. And some of this we've already seen. He talks about living in fear. You're preoccupied with acceptance and approval. You builds us to the light and the truth, or blinds us, sorry, to the light and truth of our own emptiness and hollowness. Demands to be noticed, craving compliments, and gains identity and status from achievement and connection with important people. So again, just emphasizing what the false self is so you get an idea of that, that we live in fear and that we're basically craving acceptance for others instead of getting our acceptance from God. And then one big part of the false self that I want to talk about today is the religious false self. Religious false self. Or sometimes we might just call it religiosity, right? You know, I grew up in church, right? Since before I was born, I was going to church. So is anyone else like that? Yeah, a few people, not many. Okay, so if you were like that, then you learn all of the way things that you're supposed to do because you've been taught that in Sunday school or kids' church and all of these things, and you learn that, right? You know, just as any other, maybe you grew up in a different religion and you learn all of those things. And you can just be doing things because it's a religious act, right? Somebody told me I was supposed to do that. And that's what, you know, I want to be a good person, right? And so I'm going to do this religious act. And you're not doing it from your true self. You're not doing it from your heart. And you're just doing it out of your false self. So a religious false self may be rigorous in religiosity, devoted in discipleship and sacrificial in service without being in loving union with God. And that's the key. I'm going to read that again. It says, a religious false self may be rigorous in religiosity, devoted in discipleship and sacrificial in service without being in loving union with God. We can do a lot of things, right? But is it coming from the right place? You know, God created us for good works. So it's works are good, they're fine, but are they coming from the right place? That's the key. So are we in loving union with God? Are we staying connected with Him? There was a quote that I came across that says, they were so busy being in the world for God that they failed to be in God for the world. They were so busy being in the world for God that they fail to be in God for the world. That's by Dr. Robert Mulholland. So I want to read some scripture that relates to this from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, 21 through 23. Let's take a look at that. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow, that's a pretty powerful scripture, and that scripture is always kind of convicting to me, right? He's like, we did all of these things for you, God. But he said something really important. God said, I never knew you. I never knew you, right? That's the key point. We need to be living in union with God. We need to connect with him on a heart level, right? And so it's not just about the works that we do. And oftentimes I think we start there. We start with the works. We get the cart before the horse, as we say sometimes. We get ahead of ourselves. Where we need to, do you remember the story where Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus? And Martha was in the kitchen working, right? She was really busy. And what did Martha do? She got upset, right? She's like, why is it my sister Mary helping me? And what was Jesus' response? She's doing the better thing, sitting at my feet. And so that's really what I want to talk about today, is just sitting at the feet of Jesus and gazing upon him and allowing that connection with him to change your life. And then out of the overflow of what he's doing in your heart and in your life, the good works will come, right? And I think they will come much more naturally rather than you trying to strive and do it because someone told you to do it or that's what you were taught and all of that. But you're doing it because out of your love relationship with God, right? Out of the overflow of what he is pouring into you. That's coming out of your life into the lives of others. So I want to share another scripture passage with you. We are talking about new wine, right? So I want to talk about John 15. So we can live out of the false self, right? Or we can live by the Spirit. And how do we do that? Well, in John 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm going to stop there. So what does it mean to be fruitful? What do you think of when you think of fruit in this context? A lot of times we think of maybe doing things, which is true, and that's important as well. As I said, God created us for good works. But what I thought about was the fruit of the Spirit. Remember in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's take a look at that, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's read this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So as you look at that, those are all really character qualities, right? And so it made me think, you know, I think God is much more concerned about our character first than the things that we do for him. So what are we doing to cultivate that soil in our hearts to allow God to develop these in us, these characters, the love, the joy, the peace, and so on? And so I submit to you today, I think that's where we should start, right? With the character, not the performance. It's so easy to focus on the performance. As human beings, and by the way, we're called human beings, right? Not human doings, right? We are human beings. And so I think that God wants us to focus on the character qualities, to allow him to work on that in us, to cultivate those qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, rather than just running off and doing a bunch of things from the wrong place in our lives. Character versus performance. Dallas Willard says, the most important thing about a man is not what he does, it is who he becomes. The most important thing about a man is not what he does, it's who he becomes. Do you believe that? We need to be before we do. So in John 15, it talks about abiding in the vine or remaining in the vine. If we are to produce fruit, we have to, as Mary did, she sat at Jesus' feet and she just remained there. And that's kind of hard to do in our day and age, right? We are pretty busy and, you know, lots of things going on. So how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to remain or abide? You know, the dictionary, they're pretty simple words, but I still looked it up. You know, you kind of get a little bit of revelation when you look up a word, right? So if you look up the word remain, it just means to continue or to dwell, right? To dwell. Now, we're really good at dwelling on negativity, right? I am. Can think about someone said something to us and it made us angry, right? And you just dwell on that. And what's the fruit of that? Well, it's not good, right? It can create division. It can create lots of frustration. It can bring lots of trouble into your life. And so instead of using that energy to focus on the negativity, we can use that energy to dwell on God and what he says about who we are, right? And to sit at his feet and listen to him. What is he telling us about our true identity and allowing him to produce that fruit in our lives? So how can we stay connected to the vine on a daily basis? Well, I want to talk about meditation and contemplation. What does it mean to meditate? So we read God's word and we meditate on it. Now, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day. A lot of times, you know, you come to church, you hear a sermon, and then you go home, you probably forget about it, right? In a couple of hours or a day, I don't know, unless it was something really amazing. And then, you know, maybe you go to small group, you read your Bible, you do all these different things, but how much of that are you actually meditating on and digging into? So if there's something that you hear today or there's something you read, you know, when you're going through a quiet time in Scripture and you feel like God is really speaking to you, I would encourage you to dig into that more. Maybe you're, you know, feel like you don't understand God's love for you or some other topic, right? You can dig into that more and meditate. What does God say about that in his word, right? And you can read books on that topic as well to help you kind of get that down deep within you, right? And that will plant a seed, and fruit will grow from that as well. So meditation is really important. I just got this book. I want to share a little bit about that with you. It's called The Blue Book, all right? We have The Purple Book. This is called The Blue Book, a really original name, right? Couldn't they come up with something a little more creative? But it's very simple, and I think that's why it's called The Blue Book, a simple title. And it's basically a devotional, and it takes you through an opening prayer, and it gives you a scripture to kind of meditate on throughout the week, and it changes topics every single week, and it gives you some other scriptures and stuff in there. But I find it to be quite amazing, and it also has writings from different people about that topic. But what I like about it is that you get to stick on one topic for the entire week. Now, I like variety, so I can get can be a little boring, right? You're like, okay, I already read that yesterday. Why am I reading it again? But that's the thing about meditation. You keep looking over it and thinking about it. What is God saying in this scripture, this one verse, this one passage? And just try to draw everything out of that you can with God's help and meditate on it, right? Until you see that transformation start to happen in your life. We want quick fixes, right? We want quick fixes in life, but oftentimes that doesn't happen. For true transformation, it takes time. Always, we want those spiritual band-aids. You know what a band-aid is, right? Spiritual band-aids. We want a quick fix, but God wants to do a deep work in us, a deep transformation. And I think meditating on his word is one of the keys to that. And the other word that's similar to that is contemplation. Now, this one's hard, right, to contemplate something. To just, maybe you're at home sitting on the couch and you're just allowing God to speak to you. Maybe you read some scripture and you're just sitting aside some time to think about, you know, what does this mean? And really just the idea of being quiet, sitting still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And I think a lot of times, you know, we don't want to be still because we're afraid of what we're going to find inside. We don't like all the stuff that's going on. We don't want to deal with that. But I think when we sit in that quiet, contemplative state, we can allow God to begin to minister to us and to point out things that are going on in his life. And that's a really good thing because then we can give it to him, right? And we can be set free through that as well, because he wants to take that away from us. And it's allowing just our hearts to reflect on him, right? And who he is and what that means for us. And so I think meditation and contemplation are two really helpful ways to abide, to rest is another word, other versions say that, to rest in him, right? Instead of trying to do everything on our own. Let's go to the next slide. So we want to abide in Abba and find our true selves, who we really are. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So we don't have to live out of that false self anymore that strives for acceptance in other people, strives, you know, to perform, to get other people's approval. We can instead choose to abide in God and allow Him to produce that fruit in us, the love, the joy, the peace, those character qualities, and be set free from all of that striving that does not honor God, right? Because we're not doing it for Him. We're doing it for other people, right? You know, are any of you, you don't have to raise your hand, are any of you people pleasers? I'm a people pleaser. I submit that. And Kat's raising her hand. Thank you, Kat. So you really want to please people, and some personalities lend themselves toward that quality much more. But that doesn't honor God. You know, you can say yes to too many things. You can, you know, do things. And so all of this, you know, before I end today, all of this living out of the false self, I think, can lead to a callous heart, right? That religious spirit, that religiosity, that part of your false self, that can really lead to a callous heart, because it doesn't come from a place of love. It doesn't come from a place of abiding in Jesus. It comes from a place of, you know, ourselves. And that's, you know, the Bible talks about deny yourself, right? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And some people think that that's the self that they're talking about, is that false self, right? We follow that, it doesn't lead to life, it leads to death. And so He wants us to deny that and follow Him. But again, I emphasize those character qualities that He wants us to develop in our lives. He wants to develop within us. So Colossians 3:3, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And sometimes we don't really connect with that life if we don't take the time to sit at His feet and enter His presence and allow Him to do the work, the deep transformation. Don't you want transformation? Right? You feel sometimes you're not really reaching that point, right? The Bible talks about going from glory to glory, but we have to take the time, right, to allow Him to do the work. The last scripture I want to share today is from Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We have been set free already. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And so the freedom, He has purchased it. Are we living in that freedom that He has already given us? Are we walking around in this small world, right? There's a bigger world that we can be living in, and that is when we abide in Jesus, right? And then we're living in this bigger world where, yes, we can see past the problems in our lives and connect with Him. And what, you know, Clay was talking about earlier, Jesus has already been bringing His kingdom here, right? But a lot of times we're so focused on our problems, what's going on inside and what we want, right? That we miss the bigger picture. We need to live out of that bigger world that God has and not our little small worlds that we have created. So it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm and do not let yourself. So we have to choose, right? To walk in that freedom, to walk by the Spirit. We have to choose to sit in that contemplative state and allow God to work out things in our lives. Charles Martin, in his book Chasing Fireflies, said, "Identity does not grow out of action until it has taken root in belonging. Identity does not grow out of action until it has taken root in belonging." I want you to think about what God is speaking to you today concerning the false self, the religious false self, and abiding in Him. Lord God, my Heavenly Father, thank you that in Christ I am your beloved. Thank you that your love for me does not depend on my accomplishments or my achievements or my impressive actions. You love me simply because you made me. You love me because I am yours. I belong to you. Help that truth guide my steps and transform my heart this day. Father, we thank you for today that you reminded us of the fact that, yes, you are a good father. We are your sons and daughters. Help us to live out of being that son and that daughter, and not out of anything else that we try to create, not out of anything else that the world tells us we should be, but out of who you say we are. And may you help us to know more of our identity, more of who we are in you. Set us free, Father, from the things that bind us. Father, we just pray for chains to be broken right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, we have been set free. We're already free in Jesus, Father. So help us to walk by the Spirit and not out of our flesh, out of the false self that we have created. Thank you that you have set us free, that you call us son and daughter. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.